You're interacting with it, you're hearing about it everywhere. Generative AI feels, well, like magic sometimes, doesn't it? Changing how we work, learn, create. But have you ever stopped to think about what's happening behind that digital curtain? What are the real costs? Not just the price tag, but, you know, for the planet and for us.
It's definitely a side of the AI revolution that doesn't get as much headline space. But it's incredibly important as this technology scales up.
Absolutely. And that's why today we're diving deep into a specific and, I think, really crucial source, a recent report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office.
That's right. GAO report number GAO25107172 came out in April 2025. And the title is Artificial Intelligence, Generative AI's Environmental and Human Effects.
Yeah.
It's pretty significant because it's a government assessment really designed to give policymakers a clear-eyed view of this whole landscape.
Right. So our mission today is to take this, well, this stack of information, this detailed GAO report, and unpack it for you. We're trying to extract the absolute most important nuggets of knowledge, the surprising facts, the key insights, so you can quickly get informed. Not just about the benefits, which, let's face it, we hear about constantly, but about the significant, often hidden, risks and challenges that generative AI brings. We'll explore what the report found about its resource use, its effects on society and people, and the policy options that are being looked at.
And it's a really timely assessment because, as the report itself highlights, many of these effects are still kind of emerging or not fully understood yet, partly because the tech is developing so incredibly fast and partly due to, well, a lack of transparency from many companies involved.
Okay, let's jump right into the environmental footprint then, because the report starts there and makes it crystal clear up front. Generative AI uses significant amounts of energy and water. But here's one of the report's first big findings that really jumps out at me. Companies generally aren't making the details of this usage public.
Yeah, what's fascinating here is that historically, most estimates of AI's environmental effects, they primarily focus just on the energy and the carbon emissions needed to train these massive models. Getting data on water consumption has been much, much harder. And even separating out Gen AI's specific use from, you know, all the other stuff happening in data centers is challenging.
The report gives some pretty striking numbers, though, even with that limited data. Training a large generative AI model, the kind that powers many of the tools you might be using every day, can require tens of thousands of specialized processors running for months. Months. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars just for the computation part.
And that level of computation demands a serious amount of energy. Table 1 in the report, it provides some reported energy and carbon figures for training-specific models. So, for instance, training OpenAI's GPT-3 model, the one with 175 billion parameters, it's estimated to have consumed 12,287 megawatt hours of energy. And that resulted in about 552 metric tons of CO2 equivalent emissions. Now, compare that to Meta's Llama 3.1405B model. The report estimates that it took a staggering 21,588 milliwatt-hours and produced nearly 9,000 TCO2e. Just for training.
Wow, that is a huge difference between those two examples. And the report really highlights how much the carbon emissions depend on where this training happens, right? Because the energy grids vary wildly. Training in, say, the Pacific Northwest of the U.S., where, what, 44% of the power comes from hydro, that results in much lower carbon emissions compared to training in the Midwest, where 38% of the power still comes from coal. Figure 3 in the report shows this visually. It really drives home how much the electricity source matters for the same computation.
Exactly. And then what about the water? This is often the detail that really surprises people. A widely cited academic paper mentioned in the report, it estimated that training a single large model could consume and evaporate 700,000 liters of fresh water, just for cooling. To put that in perspective, that's roughly a quarter of an Olympic-sized swimming pool, gone, evaporated, for training one model.
700,000 liters. Just picturing that volume, it really makes the impact tangible, doesn't it? And that's just the training phase. What about just using generative AI, you know, giving it prompts, getting responses, something so many of us are doing all the time now?
Right. The environmental effects of using Gen AI, the inference stage, have received significantly less attention than training. It's harder to measure, maybe. But the report cites one estimate suggesting a single generative AI interaction could use about 3 watt hours of electricity. Compare that to a standard keyword search, which uses about 0.3 generation.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, a Gen AI query could be roughly 10 times more energy intensive. Now imagine that scaled across millions or billions of users and queries every single day. It adds up. Figure 4 in the report even gives a hypothetical scenario for water use related to just internet searches using Gen AI, showing it's not insignificant either.
So it's not just the massive energy hit up front for training. The ongoing everyday interactions add up really quickly, too. What about the physical stuff itself? The servers, the graphics cards, the huge data centers being built to house all this?
Yeah, the hardware. The report points out that calculating the full environmental effects of building this infrastructure, everything from, you know, mining the raw materials for components, manufacturing the chips and servers, constructing the data centers with concrete and steel, transporting it all, it's incredibly difficult. Why? Because there's a significant lack of data. These impacts fall under what's known as Scope 3 emissions in environmental accounting, like in the Greenhouse Gas Protocol.
And Scope 3 emissions can be a really huge piece of the overall footprint, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. The report notes one analysis indicating the embodied carbon from just manufacturing the hardware added an additional 50% to the carbon footprint calculated from training and using the AI. And recent environmental reports from some major AI developers like Google and Microsoft have shown pretty substantial double-digit increases in their overall emissions. And they link part of this directly to their massive investments in data center infrastructure, which falls into that Scope 3 category. It really underscores the importance of decarbonizing materials like the steel and concrete used to build these massive facilities.
And eventually, all that powerful hardware reaches the end of its, well, its usable life.
Right. A high-end GPU, for example, might only have an operational life of about 4 years before it needs replacing. Recycling it, repurposing it, or just disposing of it, all of that has environmental consequences. But again, the report notes there's just insufficient data available right now to fully analyze these end-of-life issues, specifically for generative AI infrastructure at scale. It's another kind of blind spot.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Moving beyond the environmental costs, the report really digs into the potential human effects. Generative AI offers incredible promise. We all see the potential benefits, right? But the report brings into focus five key areas of risks and challenges for society, for individuals. And critically, because the technology is still developing so rapidly and there's that lack of full transparency we mentioned, it's often difficult to make definitive, sweeping statements about just how big these risks are.
Which really raises an important question.
Yeah.
Are we able to fully understand and maybe mitigate these risks as quickly as the technology is advancing and being deployed? It's a race, almost. The report lists critical challenges, starting with the risk of unsafe systems.
Unsafe systems. Okay.
Yeah.
What does that look like on a practical level for someone just, you know, using Gen AI?
It means the system might produce outputs that are factually incorrect. You probably heard the term hallucinations, right? But this includes things like generating completely wrong legal or medical advice, which could be dangerous, or creating convincing deepfakes that spread misinformation, or even producing what the report calls undesirable content or instructions that could enable malicious behavior, like providing steps for creating harmful substances or weapons.
And here's where it gets really interesting and maybe a bit unsettling. The report uses the term black boxes. It means that even the designers themselves don't always fully understand exactly how these complex systems arrive at their outputs. This inherent opacity makes anticipating and preventing these safety issues incredibly difficult, especially with the potential for AI models to develop unexpected emergent abilities or even exhibit alarming behavior, like the report mentions, a system potentially threatening users. Scary stuff.
Definitely. Another major challenge the report highlights is the lack of data privacy. Those massive data sets used to train these models, they're often scraped from the internet, and they can inadvertently include personal identifiable information, which means that sensitive data you might have shared online, maybe years ago, could potentially be surfaced and revealed to any user of the Gen AI model.
Wait, so something I posted publicly, thinking it was just out there, could end up in a Gen AI's training data and then be pulled up by someone else asking the right question. That feels like a potential privacy nightmare.
Potentially, yes. And the report notes this is particularly concerning when these systems are used in sensitive sectors like healthcare, legal services, or finance. Plus, many of the terms of service for these systems, they allow the companies to reuse user interactions as training data, which kind of compounds the issue. The report also points out this interesting tension. Achieving fair performance, in some cases, might actually require including disproportionate amounts of data from rare or marginalized populations, which directly conflicts with basic privacy principles. It's a tricky balance.
Cybersecurity, always a top concern with any new technology. How does Gen AI fit into the cyber threat landscape?
Well, the report covers two sides to this. First, the Gen AI systems themselves are vulnerable. They can be tricked or attacked. using methods like prompt injection, basically manipulating the input to get unintended outputs, or data poisoning, which is tampering with the training data itself, or even jailbreaks, getting the system to bypass its own built-in safety guards.
And they can be turned into tools for cyber attacks as well.
Absolutely. Bad actors are already using generative AI to create much more convincing phishing emails, generate sophisticated malicious code, and craft highly deceptive content for social engineering attacks, much faster, and maybe better than they could before. The report warns that in the future, these capabilities could even be used to target critical infrastructure systems.
What about bias? We've heard a lot about AI systems reflecting biases in their training data. Is that still a major issue with Gen AI?
Oh, yes. Unintentional bias is a significant and persistent challenge. It stems from biases present in the vast datasets used for training. These can be statistical biases, historical biases, or even, you know, human cognitive biases reflected in the text or images the AI learns from. This can lead to outputs that perpetuate harmful stereotypes, discriminate against certain groups, or simply not relevant or useful to the user. The report also notes this contributes to inequitable access. If the training data is overwhelmingly in English, for example, the systems might perform much less effectively for non-English speakers. That's a real barrier.
Finally, the report raises the critical issue of a lack of accountability. If a Gen AI system provides harmful misinformation or violates privacy or enables an attack, who is ultimately responsible?
Yeah, and this is complicated by that black box nature we discussed, and a general lack of data provenance, meaning it's often unclear exactly where the training data came from or why a specific output was generated. Users who are harmed by a Gen AI output often have very limited options for seeking recourse or figuring out what went wrong. And the proliferation of deepfakes makes tracing the origin of harmful content even harder. Who do you hold accountable then? The report suggests that establishing accountability really requires greater transparency in how systems work, improved explainability, making it clear how outputs were generated, and better interpretability, helping users actually understand the outputs they receive.
It definitely helps to see how these risks and potential benefits actually play out in the real world, doesn't it? The report looks at a few key sectors where generative AI is having a big impact. Let's start with public services.
Yeah, Gen AI holds promise there for improving how governments serve citizens. You know, things like automating responses to common questions via chatbots, providing instant translation, or maybe helping summarize complex regulations in plain language. The report gives an interesting example of a city deploying a chatbot to help small business owners navigate bureaucracy. Apparently, it could access info from 2,000 city sources and handle thousands of inquiries.
Sounds good, right?
Sounds great. Yeah, but I'm guessing there's a but. Even that example highlighted the challenges, didn't it? Exactly. The chatbot itself had to include warnings that it might produce incorrect, harmful, or biased content and should not be used for legal advice. And it actually did provide wrong information about landlords accepting housing vouchers in some cases.
Oof.
Yeah. So that single example perfectly illustrates the accountability issue and the absolute need for really rigorous testing and effective assessment of these systems before they're widely deployed in sensitive areas. The report really emphasizes that.
Okay, what about labor markets? This is something I think many people are understandably concerned about. What does Gen AI mean for jobs?
Well, Gen AI clearly has the potential to significantly boost productivity. The report discusses two main ways this happens. Automation, where AI completes tasks with very little human involvement, like maybe administrative duties or data entry, and augmentation, where AI enhances human work, making people more efficient, like an AI assistant helping a customer service agent. The report mentions a study at a call center where an AI chat assistant significantly increased the number of issues resolved per hour,
yeah,
especially for newer employees. So there's real potential there.
But there's that well-discussed potential downside, too. The flip side of the coin.
Right. The report points directly to the potential for increased job insecurity and instability. The displacement of entry-level roles that relied on more routinized tasks, the critical need for widespread reskilling of the workforce, and the risk that these changes could actually exacerbate existing socioeconomic disparities. It also mentions the possibility of AI-powered surveillance tools creating kind of invasive work environments that erode employee privacy. Lots to consider.
Education, another huge area where generative AI has just exploded onto the scene.
For sure. And it offers exciting potential for learning things like personalized tutoring available 24/7, instant feedback on written work, automating tedious tasks for teachers, freeing them up, and creating entirely new ways for students to engage with material. The report shares an example of an education organization using GenAI to power a personal tutor and teaching assistant, helping students practice debating points or master math concepts.
And yet we hear about the problems constantly: cheating, misinformation. It feels like a constant battle.
And the report validates many of those concerns. There's the potential for misuse, like plagiarism or generating fake essays. The real difficulty for educators in detecting this kind of cheating, the dual-use nature of the technology. The sheer speed of development, leaving educators and institutions just scrambling to keep up and requiring extra support. Crucially, the report highlights the significant risks of errors, bias, and confabulation, where the AI just makes things up, leading to students distrusting the tools or, even worse, learning incorrect information. Equity issues pop up again, too, with access barriers and systems primarily favoring English. And the report raises a concern about potential over-reliance on AI tutors, maybe diminishing students' ability to think critically and solve problems independently.
Finally, let's look at research and development. This seems like an area where GenAI's potential benefits are truly massive, right?
It certainly looks that way. The report highlights how GenAI is being used to dramatically accelerate R&D cycles. This includes things like analyzing vast databases of scientific literature or drug compounds to identify potential breakthroughs much faster than humans could alone, or helping software developers write and debug code and build prototypes much, much faster. The example of a pharmaceutical company using AI throughout their drug discovery process is really powerful. They saw preclinical research time potentially cut in half and costs reduced by maybe a tenth. Huge implications.
But even in the seemingly overwhelmingly beneficial area, the report notes risks lurking.
Yes, even here. The report points out the potential for these powerful R&D tools to be misused, like helping design new chemical or biological weapons, for instance. It notes the need for significant expertise and resources just to test and evaluate these cutting-edge GenAI applications, which naturally limits who can participate. There's the extreme cost of developing and running these frontier AI models, which risks concentrating power and breakthroughs in the hands of just a very few large organizations. And the report raises a longer-term concern about the potential downstream effects of a rapidly accelerating AI-driven research loop, where the technology is essentially improving itself at an ever-increasing pace, potentially with unpredictable consequences down the line.
So, looking at this incredibly complex picture, the significant environmental footprint, the wide-ranging human risks, what does the GAO report suggest policymakers could actually consider doing? They explore several policy options beyond just, you know, letting things continue as they are.
Right. On the environmental side, one key option discussed is to improve data collection and reporting.
What would that actually involve? What does that mean in practice?
It means encouraging or maybe even requiring industry to share detailed, standardized data on the environmental effects across the entire life cycle of GenAI infrastructure. So data on the energy and water consumed during manufacturing, transportation, the training phase, the daily use, and eventually disposal. Information on the specific hardware and infrastructure used is also vital. The report really stresses that this data is absolutely crucial for us to even begin to understand the true scale of the environmental impact. Right now, it's too opaque.
Yeah, I can immediately see companies pushing back hard on that, arguing that this kind of detailed information is proprietary business intelligence, competitive secrets.
And the report acknowledges that concern explicitly. It's a significant consideration for policymakers, definitely. Another environmental policy option the report floats is to encourage innovation specifically focused on efficiency.
How could that work? What would that look like?
Well, the government could use incentives, perhaps, to encourage developers and researchers to focus on creating more resource-efficient AI models and training techniques, smarter algorithms, maybe smaller models that are still powerful. Industry could be encouraged to develop and adopt more efficient hardware and data center infrastructure, things like advanced liquid cooling systems, which are far more energy and water efficient than traditional air cooling.
It seems like efficiency is the obvious path forward for the environmental side, doesn't it? Just make everything use less.
It is key, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the report also brings up a critical economic concept, the potential for the Jevons paradox. Heard of that?
Vaguely. Remind me.
It's the idea that increased efficiency, by lowering the cost of using a resource, in this case, AI computation or data, could actually lead to a surge in demand that completely outweighs the efficiency gains. So you could end up with increased total resource consumption, even though each individual operation is more efficient. Understanding if and where this paradox is occurring with AI, that requires better data, which loops right back to that first policy option about reporting.
Okay. Turning to the human effects as risk related to safety, privacy, bias, accountability, what policy options does the report lay out there?
Well, one option is for policymakers to encourage the use of available AI frameworks. There are frameworks out there already designed to help organizations manage AI risks, like the GAO's own AI Accountability Framework, or the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, their AI Risk Management Framework. NIST even has a specific profile tailored for generative AI risks now. These are publicly available tools.
So the idea is basically to get developers and organizations actually using these existing toolkits to guide how they design, deploy, and govern their Gen AI systems, kind of like best practice guides.
Precisely. These frameworks can help manage risks, they can push for greater transparency, and guide internal processes like risk assessments and maybe even external audits. However, the report does note a potential limitation. These existing frameworks might not fully capture all the new and rapidly evolving risks that are unique to generative AI. Things are moving so fast. And conducting the necessary reviews and assessments using these frameworks can be pretty time-consuming and costly, especially for smaller players.
Another option mentioned is to share best practices and establish standards.
Right. This involves the government and industry working together, maybe collaboratively, to identify and share what approaches are working effectively right now to manage risks, learning from each other. It also means developing more formal, agreed-upon standards for Gen AI safety, security, maybe even performance or environmental reporting eventually. International organizations like ISO/IEC are already working on AI management system standards, like ISO/IEC 42001, which the report mentions. Standards can help provide consistent guidance across different sectors and companies.
That sounds incredibly sensible on the surface, but getting everyone, companies, countries, to agree on formal standards, that must be incredibly challenging and slow.
Oh, the report points out exactly that challenge. Reaching consensus among many diverse stakeholders across the public and private sectors, internationally, it's very time and resource intensive. Developing formal standards can take a long time. The report references previous GAO work indicating it can take anywhere from 18 months to, well, maybe even a decade. And with Gen AI evolving so incredibly quickly, there's the constant challenge of keeping those standards relevant and up to date through continuous research and revision. It's a moving target.
And the report does make it clear that for both the environmental and human effects, policymakers also have the option to simply maintain the status quo, do nothing new. But the GAO's analysis pretty clearly suggests that while various efforts are underway, they may not be sufficient on their own to fully address the specific, significant challenges posed by generative AI as it currently exists and continues to develop.
Yeah, this whole deep dive into the GAO report really underscores just how complex generative AI is. It's not just a powerful tool, it's a technology with absolutely immense potential, but that potential comes packaged with significant, often difficult to measure environmental demands, and a whole range of potential risks to individuals and society that we're still grappling with.
The lack of detailed data across the board, combined with the sheer, almost dizzying speed of this technology's advancement, it creates a lot of uncertainty, doesn't it, for everyone involved, developers, users, policymakers alike. But the report does a crucial job, I think, of laying out the known risks, from the resource consumption for cooling and computation to the really thorny challenges of bias, privacy, and knowing who is responsible when something goes wrong. And it explores concrete paths policymakers could potentially take to try and navigate this future.
It's certainly a lot to consider, isn't it? Especially as this technology isn't some abstract concept anymore. It's becoming deeply integrated into our daily workflows, our education systems, the tools we use to communicate and create every day.
It definitely raises an important question, maybe the important question for all of us. Given this rapid development, the hidden costs we've talked about, and the acknowledged uncertainties, who really bears the ultimate responsibility for ensuring generative AI is developed and used in a way that genuinely benefits society without causing undue harm? And how can we, as just users and citizens living through this massive technological shift, best educate ourselves and navigate this evolving landscape?
That's definitely something to think about long after this conversation ends. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive today.